Yes. Man, what an incredible day already today here at the Way Church. Let me ask you guys a question. Who in here besides me? Who in here besides me has, even if it was just for a moment, felt like maybe you were too far gone? Anybody else feel like they were too far gone? Anybody? Yeah, come on, man. I think that we all go through those moments in our life where we feel like we're too far gone. We feel like that there's nothing that can save us. We feel like there's nothing that can help us turn around. We feel like that we're just too far gone, like we're too far over the edge. Like even if somebody was to extend the hand, that they wouldn't be able to reach us because we're just too far gone. Even if somebody wanted to, they couldn't save us. And probably we felt like many times that nobody even wanted to. Amen. I don't know if anybody else has ever been in the same boat as me, but there were times when I felt like nobody even wanted to. And even if they did, they wouldn't have the power to do so. We feel like that we're too far gone. There was a time in my life when I felt like I was too far gone. There was a time in my life when everybody around me had to come to terms with the fact that I was probably too far gone. Everybody around me thought that except for one person. And you guys probably know his name, because it's the name above every name. It's the only name under heaven by which we may be saved. It's the name of the Lion of Judah. It's the name of the Lamb of God. It's the name of the one born of a virgin. It's the name of the only begotten Son. It's the name of the chain breaker. It's the name of the Redeemer and the Restorer. It's the name of the Alpha and the Omega. It is the name of the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the only one. And his name is Jesus Christ. Can we just give him praise in the house this morning? If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning, just in honor of his word, we're going to read from the book of John in chapter 11. I'm going to read a bunch more scripture than this, but I'm not going to make you stand up the whole time. I mean, I could. I'm going to have to stand up the whole time. But I won't do that. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. This is vital. The book of John in chapter 11. You know, if you've been in church very long, you've heard this story a blue million times. But I think today God's going to reveal some new stuff to us. John chapter 11. I'm just going to read two verses here. Verse 25 and 26. The New Testament Gospel of John says this. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Do you? I want you to meditate on that question today as we walk through this scripture. I want you to pray. I want you to seek the Lord. And I want you to answer this question for yourself. I don't want your family's answer. I don't want your tradition's answer. I don't want your denomination's answer. I want your answer. I don't want you to have my answer. I want you to seek the Lord and answer this question for yourself by the time that we leave here. Do you believe this? Because the answer to that changes everything in your life. Pray with me today. God, I pray today that you will reveal yourself to us in a way that we've never experienced you before, God. I pray today that we can get to know your person, but that we can trust in your power, God. Lord, I pray that your spirit just opens ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to truly believe. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's just give him praise one more time, would you? John chapter 11 in verse 1, the Bible says this. Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent a message to him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God." Do you hear what I just said? This will not end in death, but it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Just because it won't end in death, Way Church, doesn't mean that you won't go through death. Just because it won't end in death doesn't mean you won't experience death. Just because it won't end in death doesn't mean you're not going to be touched by death. You know, I went to a funeral just the other day. I was a pallbearer there, and they read a certain psalm. You guys probably know which one it was, about three times during the service. It was Psalm 23, and that psalm doesn't say we're going to avoid the shadow of death. It doesn't say we're going to go around the shadow of death. It doesn't say we're going to skip the shadow of death. It doesn't say we're going to jump over the shadow of death. It doesn't say that the light of God is going to totally wipe out the shadow of death. No. It says I walk through the shadow of death, but you are with me. Even though you walk through the shadow of death, you are with me. Man, we serve an even though kind of God. Can you say even though? Even though you're sick, it's not going to end in death. Say, even though. Even though. Even though you're afflicted, it's not going to end in death. Say, even though. Even though. Even though you're trapped, it's not going to end in death. Even though you're upset, it's not going to end in death. Even though you're heartbroken, it's not going to end in death. Even though you're under attack, it's not going to end in death. Even though you're suffering all the things that the world can throw into you, even though it's not going to end in death, because for those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. For those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no mountain that we can't scale. For those that are in Christ Jesus, there's no sea we can't cross. For those that are in Christ Jesus, there is nothing that can stop us, because He is everything that we could ever need, everything we could ever desire. He provides for us, man. He fills us. He calls us into glory. That's not even what I'm preaching about today, man. Come on. Sorry, I got a little carried away there. I told you I was extra today. Oh, man, if you're in Christ Jesus, I promise you it's not going to end in death. Even though it seems like it, it's not going to. Even though death presents its ugly face, it's not going to end in there. Even though you might think it is, it's not. Even though it might seem like you're too far gone, you're not. Even though it might seem like the ones you love are too far gone, they're not. It's not going to end in death. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed there two more days in the place he was. Does that make any sense whatsoever? I love it when Jesus don't make sense. I love it when Jesus doesn't make sense. You know what that proves? That his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we can't put him in the box that we like to try to put him in. You know why? Because he doesn't fit. He doesn't. He doesn't fit. He won't stay in there. You know, we sing that song about putting him in a box. He won't go in there. He won't. Y'all haven't heard that song. We'll sing it for you sometime. It's pretty cool. Some of y'all are like, yeah, I know that song. He won't go in that box, man. He does things that we don't expect. He makes like ways that we would never imagine. He uses things that we would never imagine him being able to use. That's foreshadowing, in case you didn't know. So he stayed there 2 days after they had told him that. And then after those 2 days, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. And they said, Rabbi, just now the Jews try to stone you and you're going to. See, Lazarus is not the only one facing death here. Jesus is facing death too. But I'm telling you, this is not going to end in death, not for anybody. Because anybody that's close to Jesus ain't never going to die. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Verse 9, aren't there 12 hours in a day? Jesus answered, if anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. We went over that a couple weeks ago. But if anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because the light is not in him. He's saying, pay attention. Watch what's happening. Watch what's happening. Then he told them, our friend Lazarus is falling asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up. There is no better way to get woken up than by the power of Christ Jesus. I promise you that. All right, man, come on, wake up, O sleeper, right? Wake up, O sleeper. And they said, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he's going to get well. Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe. Let's go to him. And then Thomas, the twin, said to his disciples, let's go so that we may die with him. See, not only was Lazarus facing death, not only was Jesus facing death, the disciples were facing death too. Everybody's facing death in this story, but nobody's going to receive it. And they have to be wondering. They have to be wondering, man, Jesus said that he wasn't going to die, right? But now Jesus is saying that he's dead. So isn't Jesus contradicting himself? No, no, no. Jesus didn't say that he wasn't going to die. Jesus said this is not going to end in death. You know what that means? It means he's not too far gone, and neither are you, and neither is that person you've been praying for, and neither is that person you love, and you know what? Neither is that person you hate. Oh. Oh. Yeah, they're not too far gone either. Even the ones that you want to be too far gone, they're not. They're not. They're not. Man, I could preach on that. Verse 17, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. That's important. We'll get back to that. Keep that in mind. Bethany was near Jerusalem. That's 2 miles away. Do you know that Bethany, the town they're in, you know what that means in the Hebrew? It means house of affliction or house of sorrows. So that's some foreshadowing too. That's just a side note. Verse 19, many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. Verse 20, as soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Verse 22, though, this is important. Yet now I know, yet even now, listen, her brother's dead in the tomb. She comes to the Lord and she says, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But verse 22, she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, that he will give you. She said that I know that whatever you ask from God, that he's going to give you. She doesn't doubt the power of Jesus Christ. She doesn't doubt his power. She knows that all he's got to do is say, rise, and Lazarus will rise. She knows that. She understands the truth of God. She understands the truth of Christ, but she doubts in the plan. See, she doubts in the plan. She figures that since he ain't done nothing yet, that he ain't going to do nothing. She thinks it has been too long. She thinks if he was going to do something, he would have done did something, and he ain't did nothing, so he ain't going to do nothing. She thinks that he had a chance to heal him here, and he had a chance to heal him here, and he had a chance to heal him here, and he had a chance to heal him here, and he had a chance to heal him right before he died, and he didn't heal him any of those times, and so now it's too late, and the plan does not include healing for Lazarus. The plan doesn't include to rise again on this life for Lazarus. That's not part of the plan. See, Martha doubts in the plan. She doesn't doubt in the power of God. She just doubts in the plan. It's been too long. Anybody ever feel like that? It's been too long. It's been too long. If God was going to do something, he would have done did something. If God was going to move, he would have done moved. If God was going to heal, he would have done healed. Yeah. If God was going to do this, he would have done did it. So you start to come to terms with your pain. You start to get comfortable in your pain. You start to get comfortable in your affliction. You start to get comfortable in your addiction. You start to get comfortable in your shame. You start to get comfortable in your guilt because you figure if God was going to do something, he would have done did it. But you know what? Our plans. That's all I have to say about that. Our plans are not his plans. He don't have to go by the plans that we made up. He doesn't have to go by the things that we had decreed. He doesn't have to live inside those things. Man, just because you've gotten used to your pain doesn't mean he's not working. Just because you have given up praying doesn't mean he's given up on you. Just because it hasn't been yet doesn't mean it's not going to be. See, you're not too far gone. You're not too far gone. Verse 23, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know. I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's still caught up on the plan. See, not only did she have a plan for what she thought was supposed to happen, see, Jesus was supposed to show up and heal his brother. That Jesus was supposed to show up and heal her brother. That was her plan. Jesus messed up her plan. But now she thinks that she knows God's plan. She thinks that she knows the plan. She knows the prophecy. She says, yes, I know. I understand your power. I know he's going to rise again at the last day. She thinks that she knows God's plan. She's still caught up in the plan. Let me give you some very clear advice today. And if you don't hear anything else that I say today, hear this. Don't get stuck in the plan and miss the person. He's standing right there. Jesus Christ is standing right there looking her in the face. Jesus Christ is standing there telling her, your brother will rise again. He showed up. He that is God, he that is life, he's the light of the world, the bread of life, the resurrection man, he that is everything, the gate, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life. He is I am, and he's standing right there. And she's so stuck in the plan that she can't even see him. She can't even see him because she's stuck in the plan. Don't get caught in the plan and miss the person. I had these big plans one weekend. I was going to romance my beautiful wife. I had this incredible plan. I was going to romance her, and it was going to be incredible. My plans included just sweeping her off her feet, and I had this prophecy for how our romance was going to be amplified that weekend, and it was going to be awesome. We went to a big city that's close to here, and I had these big plans. Man, we were going to go out and eat at this fancy restaurant, and then we were going to go from there. Trendy kind of grunge art museum that's a little bit off the beaten path that was going to be really cool. And then after that, we're going to a really nice hotel, one that's way more expensive than I would normally spend on a hotel, you know, about three times as much as I usually get off Hotwire, you know what I mean? And so we get in the car, and I've got these big plans in my mind, and we get there to the restaurant. We don't get to the restaurant. The very first thing we did was get lost. Right? And when we're in the car and we're lost and the stupid Apple Maps is trying to take us somewhere and it's not right because the thing that we're looking for is not where it says to go, and I'm mad, and she's, I think the lady was mad too. And so that's how our night started off. And so we went to this expensive restaurant, and we get there, and the service was terrible. I mean, we couldn't even get a drink order. I mean, we couldn't get nothing. And then we get our food, and the food is awful. We were wishing that we would have went to the Taco Bell and got a chicken burrito and a Mountain Dew freeze. But instead, we went and spent $100, which I didn't have, on this fancy dinner. And it was awful. I mean, just awful. Like, so bad, you take the box with you. You ever eat somewhere, and it's so bad, you don't even take the box? Like, you want a box? And we're like, no. No, we just want to leave, please. Lord Jesus, let us escape from this. So we get up and we're like, you know, let's go. And we get back in the car and we're driving and we're going to go. And then I've got this cool idea, man. We're going to, like, you know, we've gone to some like museums before, and it's just kind of a cool thing. And this place is supposed to be like trendy and cool. And I don't know. I thought it'd be something different to do. I mean, not our normal thing that we would do, but just something fun. And so we get there and like, I don't know what this place was. But it should have been further off the beaten path, like not exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, it should have been somewhere that people can't even get to. I mean, it was awful, and it was stupid, and it was just terrible, and it was, like, scary. Like, we didn't even actually go all the way in. We were just like, I don't know what they're doing in there, but I'm not going in. And so we had a terrible experience there. And so I'm frustrated, and she's, I don't know, just kind of staring off into space, and we're just like, just, it's all messed up, man. So we get back in the car, and we're just like, hey, we'll go to the hotel, and maybe we can just relax and whatever. And so I take her to this, like, kind of pricey hotel that's supposed to be kind of on the, you know, on the higher scale than what I would normally get, is what I'm saying. I mean, it still wasn't super high dollar, but it was, you know, better than what I would normally take us to. Or is supposed to be, anyway. And we get there. And we go in. It was the worst thing that a hotel room can be, man. It was dirty and yucky. And here's the worst part. It smelled funny in there. How can you have a romantic weekend when the room that you're in smells funny? That's not romantic. That's just gross. And so my plans had been sunk like a battleship. My plans had been shattered into a million pieces. I mean, so bad that there's no way that you could even pick it back up and put it back together. And I went into my brooding mode. I don't know if any of y'all seen me brood, but it's a sight to see. I look like the crow off in the shadows. And I get all upset. And I was like, I was locked into that. And I said, my plans were destroyed. And I started living that out in my actions, living that just brokenness out of my actions. Like, oh, my plans are destroyed. My weekend's over. My romantic, you know, prophecy that I had laid out before us is just gone. And here's what almost happened. I almost let my failed plans steal from me the experience to be had with this person. I almost let my plans take me away from my person. Luckily, by the grace of God, she has a way to reach into all that darkness that I go hide in and pull me out of it. And thank God that she did that. And I was able to spend the rest of the time not focused on the plans or the circumstances going around me, but the person that God has gifted me with. Do not let the circumstances of your life steal you away from the person of Jesus. Don't let the fact that you think you're too far gone or you think somebody else is too far gone, don't let the fact that you don't understand the plans or that the plans that you made have got shut down take you away from a relationship with the person. In Matthew 7, when Jesus says, depart from me, he didn't say, depart from me because your plan got messed up. He didn't say, depart from me because your prophecy didn't come true. He says, depart from me because I never knew you. Don't let the plans take you away from the person. Don't let the plans take you away from the person. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. To anyone that believes in me, even if he dies, he'll live. Even and everyone who lives and believes me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? In other words, he was saying, Martha, or how about we just insert your name here? Whoever you are, you. I don't have a plan. Jesus don't have a plan? I don't have a plan. I am the plan. I don't have a prophecy. I am the prophecy. I don't have healing. I am healing. I don't have freedom. I am freedom. I don't have resurrection. Martha, you, I am resurrection. I don't have life. I am life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. So Martha understands truth, right? She says, yes, Lord, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God that comes into the world. She understands truth, but she don't get grace. She understands truth, but she doesn't understand grace. I like how Mary and Martha represent all of us together. Takes them both, but we're all in there. She gets truth. She don't get grace. Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher's here and he's calling you. And as soon as Mary heard this, she got up very quickly and went to him. Jesus is not coming to the village yet, but it was still at the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, and they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to cry. And as Mary came there to where the Lord Jesus was, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. See, Mary has never had a problem with the person of Jesus. Mary loves Jesus. And Mary knows that Jesus loves her. She's the one that anointed his head with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. She loves him. And she knows by his reaction to that and even before that, he loves her. She got no problem with his person. She knows who he is. She knows his love. She knows his grace. And you know, when Martha was still cooking in the kitchen, Mary was at his feet and wouldn't move. She's drawn to the person of Jesus. She desires the person of Jesus. And even now, when her heart is broken beyond repair, when her heart is broken at the loss of her brother, still she comes and just lays herself at his feet. Mary doesn't have a problem with the person of Jesus. Mary doesn't understand the power of Jesus. She thinks, Lord, I know you love me, and I love you, but some things are beyond even you. And so she's curled up at his feet saying, if you'd just been here, I know you love me. I know you love me. I know you love Lazarus. I know you love us. But if you'd just been here, you could have fixed it. See, she thinks that he's too far gone. She thinks that Lazarus is beyond the power of Jesus Christ. 4 days dead. See, in the Jewish culture, they believed that the spirit hung around for 3 days, right, Vince? That within those 3 days, it could come back in. But on the fourth day, they believed that they were completely moved on. Lazarus been in the tomb for 4 days. He's beyond the power even of Jesus, even the one that had healed blind eyes, even the one that had healed deaf ears, even the one that had cleansed the lepers. Lazarus, he is beyond the power. Beyond the power of Jesus. Beyond the power of Jesus. One day I got a phone call. And they told me that somebody that I knew, known for a long time, not well, but I've known them forever, for my whole life basically, was in an ICU room with only a very short time to live. And they were just ate up with cancer and whatever. They're just like hooked up to machines and just destitute. Just, you know, with only like minutes, hours, maybe days to live. And they want to know if I would pray for them. And so I said that I would. And that's what I did. But wait, church, that's all that I did. I prayed for them. I said, Lord, be with them. Lord, be with their family. Amen. And then for 2 days, I did nothing. For 2 days, I did nothing. And then they called me back. And they were like, Paul, he's still hanging on. We want to know if you would come. If you would come. Now, I need to give you some background on this. This guy's on his deathbed. He's just barely hanging on. He can barely communicate at this time. Barely communicate. He only has moments, just very few moments where he's lucid. Like he could go at any minute. And he's been a hardcore atheist for his whole life. Mocks the things of God. The only time he would say anything about God would be to curse. And has been known to cuss out people that would bring up God to him. And so I'm going to be transparent in front of y'all today. And you can judge me if you want to. But my flesh in that moment thought, he's too far gone. I'm just being honest. But thank God that my spirit within me knows more than my flesh does. You know why? Because my spirit on the inside of me is intertwined with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And the Holy Spirit of the living God doesn't know a few things, doesn't know a lot of things, knows everything. And so somewhere deep down in my spirit, somewhere deep down in my spirit, even in my mind, said that he was too far gone. Somewhere deep down in my spirit, I knew that he wasn't too far gone. And so with a little prodding from my wife, I decided to go. And so I went there, and I went to that ICU, and it was a really awkward experience because there were people there that didn't want me there. Amen. Yeah. There were people there that didn't want me to be there, and so it was really awkward. But they let me go into the room. Me and my wife went in the room. And I walked up to the bed and I said, hey, do you know who I am? And he said, I reckon I do. And I said, do you know why I'm here? And he said, I reckon I know that too. And I said, do you know the Lord? He didn't say anything. But he began to get emotional. And the Lord told me to say this, and it sounds a little rough, but it's just what the Lord told me to say. I said this. I said, do you want to know the Lord? That's not the rough part. I said, do you want to know the Lord? And he said, I do. And I said, then will you surrender what little life you have left to the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, I will. And I said, can I pray with you? And we prayed together. And I want to tell you that the power of the Holy Spirit fell on that place. And hearts were changed. And his soul was saved. And the power of the living God was displayed in that room right then. And the glory of God was filling that place. And filling his spirit. And I want to tell you that not only was the glory of God revealed to him that day, but the glory of God was revealed to me. And he let me know that ain't nobody. Nobody that hasn't come before judgment. Nobody that's not already standing there. Nobody is too far gone. And so Jesus says, where have you put him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus got emotional, but man, I think he was just frustrated with everything and everybody. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, couldn't he that opened blind eyes also have kept this man from dying? See, they don't even get to the point where they can question his person or his power. They're questioning his identity. They don't even believe it's the same guy. They don't know who he is, but they're pretty sure it's not the one that was doing all these miracles. The crowd watching from the outside can't even understand what's going on. But Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. And there was a stone lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. And Martha said, Lord, there's already a stench. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her in verse 40, didn't I tell you that if you believed, that you would see the glory of God? Martha thought he was too far gone. Mary thought he was too far gone. The crowd that was watching thought that he was too far gone. You know what else they thought was too far gone? The children of Israel thought that Pharaoh was too strong to let the people go. They thought that the Red Sea was too vast to cross. They thought that the walls of Jericho were too high and too strong to come tumbling down. They thought that Goliath was too big and too strong to ever be defeated. They thought that that lion's den, that those lions were too hungry to have their mouths shut. They thought that the fiery furnace was too hot. Man, ain't nobody in Israel got faith like Shadrach anymore. I mean, does nobody have faith like Shadrach does? I mean, can't nobody come before the king and say, hey, king, you can throw us in that fire if you want to, but I know that our God has the power to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow before your stupid statue. Even if he doesn't, we still won't deny him. Even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. Even if he doesn't, we'll still worship him. Doesn't anybody have faith like that anymore? Doesn't anybody have faith like that? And so Jesus comes to the tomb, and they finally open it up. And Jesus raises his eyes and says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I say this so they may believe that you sent me. After that, he shouted in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man came out. Some people think that their sin debt is too high. If your sin debt was too high, then Jesus would still be in the grave. Some people say that he doesn't have enough power to overcome death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, sin, where is your power? You see, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And anybody that comes into contact with him can't stay dead. You see, death ain't got no answer for resurrection. And the grave has no place for life. And he is both.